Welcome back to yet another episode of the Caught Red Podcast. I'm Jesse Light.
I'm Megan Light.
We are just two dog lovers talking about true crime, horror movies, and most likely our dogs too. And I thought it was going to be kind of an uneventful week for the dogs, but no, it's right before we start this podcast episode, Mowgli decides he wants to crawl under our back porch for the first time ever.
Yeah, I didn't know where he went, and I could hear him, and I thought he was digging. We have this little corner beside the house, in between the house and the deck, that they love to dig.
For some reason.
I don't know what it is. And I was yelling at him, and I didn't see him. And I was yelling, and I get up, and I don't see him anywhere. And I'm like, what the hell? And then all of a sudden, his little head's like, hi, from underneath the deck.
And it's the smallest little spot that he could crawl into. Like, you could see the other three dogs being able to do it, but not him because he's so big. I wish I would have seen it.
Well,
I can picture it.
I didn't know I needed to record it for you.
You should have. Always be ready.
Well, my heart was kind of like, because I was like, where did he go?
Imagine him getting stuck and I have to pull like three or four of the boards out of the way just to get him. That would be fun.
I know there's probably a family of possums or something that live underneath there. It's got to be.
Critters for sure. I don't know about possums.
That's the first thing that came to my mind.
We'd see those glowing eyes.
Ugh.
No good movies this week either. We had a few duds, actually. We watched The Royal Hotel,
which was
so slow.
Which one was that?
The one with the girl from Ozark.
You know,
I don't know shit about fuck. Yeah.
Her. Yeah. Oh, that's right.
Couldn't finish it. Needed more action, you know?
Mm-hmm.
The other movie we watched, in which it could be for other people, but it just wasn't really for us. Parasite was the other movie. And it was so slow, too. It's just not our style.
Well, having to read the subtitles.
Well.
But it means you have to pay attention, and we weren't really, like, paying attention.
Yeah.
That was the storm night, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think so.
That was another thing, when you got, like, four dogs in your lap, and the couch is vibrating because they're shaking, and
you can't scroll on your phone if you got to read the subtitles.
Yep.
But I did watch a mini-series with mainly subtitles. Yes. So there's two episodes left, but I got to wait for the next one. Will be next week, the 25th, and then the following episode will be the week after that. But Shogun is good.
It's on Hulu.
And I was describing it to my friends as kind of like Game of Thrones without the dragons and the incest.
Oh, well, wonderful.
Yeah. I mean, it was entertaining. It's got some comedy in it, and it's got obviously some serious stuff, but I will give you the plot, give you the rundown. When a mysterious European ship is found marooned in a nearby fishing village, Lord Yoshi Torinaga discovers secrets that could tip the scales of power and devastate his enemies.
I haven't been watching it.
It's intense.
I read while you were watching some of the episodes last night. And then this morning when you had one on, I went to our bedroom and started another episode of True Detective because I need to catch up on those.
Oh, yeah?
From the latest season. Okay. I still have the last two to watch.
Yeah, normally it's Megan staying up till like 2 in the morning.
Dude, you did stay up late.
Yeah.
I forgot.
I was like, I got to get one more in.
Like, I don't have to do anything tomorrow. It's fine.
I really wanted to start another one, but I was like, I'll wait.
I could see myself rolling over, getting ready to like get up and feed them breakfast, and your eyes are just like bugged out of your face because you didn't sleep.
I did lay there just thinking about the show for like 30 minutes before I fell asleep.
My God, obsessed.
Megan's been on a roll lately.
Jesse's been a slacker lately.
Yeah, it happens. She's got another one for us, so that makes three in a row for her. I said, hey, why not? If you got it, go and get it.
Fuck it.
You ready to do this thing?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Aye.
All right. A lot of sources out there on this one. And I was telling you the other day, like, there's a lot of sources, but, like, I don't really hear much about this. Because I guess it's just another shooting in L.A. I don't know. But here we go. I got ABC7, TaylorRing.com, which is a lawyer's website, Fox LA, Newsweek, CBS News, NBC Los Angeles, KTLA, The New York Times, Courthouse News, Unicourt.com, California News Wire Service, LAPD Online, and then on YouTube, I watched 13 minutes of footage from dash cameras and body cameras from the incident. And then, of course, part of the 13 minutes was also snips of 911 calls that were made. If I could find a way or find like a good spot, I would include those or have you put it on the little thingy-majig over here.
Thingamabobber.
Yeah, and play part of it. But there really wasn't like a section. Like, you'd have to watch all 13 minutes. But you can look it up. It's, I think I just typed in Hollywood. What'd I type in? Well, I'll get to that later.
Yeah, we don't want to listen to 13 minutes of it.
No, no. Oh, and besides, half the time it was something visual. You couldn't really just listen.
Oh, one more thing. I was telling my mom about
what?
My accents on here. And
yeah,
I told her I did a Jason Statham, and she said, who's Jason Statham? I said, oh, my God. So I guess I was adopted. I don't know. How you not going to know who Jason Statham is? He's the beekeeper.
Okay, good. I was hoping you'd give us one. You ready?
Ready.
We're traveling across the U.S. from us here in the Briar to the West Coast today. We're going to be in California, specifically Los Angeles, if you couldn't pick that up already. And when I think of cities like LA or like New York City or Las Vegas, I tend to forget that there's like everyday Joe Blow that lives there. That there's everyday people working everyday jobs. They have nothing and want nothing to do with like the glitz and the glams of being a celebrity or having that kind of lifestyle. Our story today actually picked up a little bit of traction within the last couple of years when the family of a victim who was just an innocent bystander spoke out to the media because they're still seeking justice for their loved one 5 years after the fact. Going back to 2018, and you might, well, I hope, I think you're going to recognize the name once I say it. But can you guess what was like the biggest news in 2018, especially in like the true crime community?
In Los Angeles or just overall?
Well, it is in California, but I mean just like overall of the whole year of 2018.
Well, it wasn't Gabby Petito. That was a couple years later, right?
Right.
Dude, I don't know. I'm sure somebody else knows, yeah. But not me. I didn't get into true crime till 22, so
ish. Well, in April of 2018, Joseph D'Angelo Jr., the Golden State Killer, was arrested.
Ah.
Yes. And do you know who was a big key player in that investigation?
Not J.C. Ryder, but it should have been.
Well, you know Mary Jane knows. Hashtag.
Is it Paul Holes?
Hot for Holes. He had suspected D'Angelo. And the day before he actually retired, he went to D'Angelo's home and was going to ask him for a DNA sample. But he ends up talking himself out of it for safety reasons. And obviously we know that they do get that sample and it's compared and he's arrested. But if you haven't read Unmasked by Paul Holes, I highly recommend it.
It's behind Megan on the wall.
It is indeed.
And I should have known the answer to that too, because we listened to like 3 hours of him at CrimeCon.
Yes.
Which is coming up pretty soon. It'll be here before we know it.
We got to book the boys.
Nashville.
Another good book on the subject is I'll Be Gone in the Dark by Michelle McNamara. And that one's a little bit sadder, especially if you know about the author. That's Patton Oswalt's wife. She was obsessed with the case. She worked really hard to bring a new light to it. Like, she was a fresh pair of eyes on the subject. But in 2016, she would pass away in her sleep from overdosing on a concoction of drugs. Opioids were her vice. She died before her book was finished, but she had made some really great friends along the way. One of them is Billy Jensen. He stepped in and completed the book. The book came out in February 2018, just before D'Angelo was arrested. And I only mention those just because it's the year and you should read them if you haven't. So back on track. Still, 2018 in LA, we've got 28-year-old Gene Evan Adkins.
Eugene?
No, it's just Gene. I did think that at first. I was like, oh, here we go. He was living with his 76-year-old grandmother, Mary Elizabeth Madison, on 32nd Street in South Central LA. Gene's grandmother took him in when he was seven. His mother was an addict. His father was in prison. His cousin, Charlene, stated that Gene had some mental health problems stemming back to when he was a kid. It was something that no one really wanted to address because then they'd have to deal with those problems being around. And his grandmother had taken him in when he was nine for some therapy for anger issues, but it was just for a few months and then it was never really addressed since. Needless to say, things could get intense in the house. Gene was feeling down and depressed and stressed for a few weeks. He had recently lost his job. He couldn't make his car payments. It got repoed. He had been a security guard and then was fired, and it was speculated that he never renewed his license to work as a security guard, which I didn't know that was a thing, but it is. On top of that, he and his grandmother had been arguing more because his girlfriend, his teenaged girlfriend, he's 28, she was 17.
Whoa.
Yeah. She had been staying with him. The girlfriend and him were on and off, and when her crashing a couple nights turned into weeks, Grandma Mary, which is what I'm going to call her since her name's Mary, she was done. She had enough. She didn't want the girl at her house anymore, and she was getting on to Gene for being home all the time with this girl instead of going out and finding another job. She, 76, was still working herself, and she was tired of him being lazy. The two would go back and forth for weeks because of this. Gene's grandmother was getting onto him for something else that was really small that would activate.
Bro.
What was about to come.
Get your shit together.
Right.
She's 76 and
taking care of your ass. Yeah.
God.
So on this day in particular, July 21st, 2018, Grandma Mary was coming in from outside and she could hear blaring noises. So she's yelling at Gene, turn all the TVs off. It's too loud. There's too much noise. She just couldn't take it. And I guess everything leading up to that point and then getting yelled at was just the last straw for Gene because he lost it. He broke and he snapped. So he goes into his bedroom and returned with a gun. His grandmother had no idea that he had a gun in the house or how he had even gotten it.
It's easy to get a gun.
Yeah. Before she realized what was about to happen, Gene shot his grandmother twice in her bedroom before demanding her car keys, which were just in her purse. He would proceed to fire at least six more bullets, hitting his grandmother a total of seven times, I read. And then one bullet hit his girlfriend, but it only grazed her head. So she was okay. And then...
Was he aiming for her? Or is it just like a...
No idea.
She's just in the way? In the line of fire? Like
frenzy shooting of some kind? I don't know. He then forced his injured girlfriend into his grandmother's 2017 navy blue Toyota Camry, and he sped off.
So is she a hostage now?
Yes. The first. At the same time, one of Grandma Mary's children, Rhonda, lived in the same vicinity. I think it's just the same street, just like further down. Rhonda was out on her porch. She never knew anything was going on. Cousin Charlene, who I mentioned a few minutes ago, had told the news that she was walking towards Grandma Mary's house when she heard gunshots. She hurries to get inside because she doesn't know where they're coming from. She just hears gunshots.
South Central LA, it could be anywhere.
Correct. So she's on her way to run inside the house. And I guess between her reaching the residence and Jean leaving, Rhonda went to go check on her mom. And she comes running out of the house and meeting Charlene out front. And she's yelling, "I think Jean shot my mama." Charlene calls 911 and the women waited with Mary until the ambulance arrived. Multiple calls had come in from Mary's neighbors reporting the shots. One neighbor, which is one of the calls in that 13-minute span, she sounded like she was a younger girl. She was able to give dispatch not just the car type and color, but the license plate. And then she told dispatch that she saw a man leaving the house carrying a lady that was bleeding.
Dang.
So like 5 stars.
Future detective right there.
Yes, I agree.
Anytime they can get the license plate, that's impressive.
Mm-hmm.
And memorize it.
I don't know if she memorized it or just
saw it. Oh, enough to be able to call and say, hey, this is the license plate. Right. That's.
Once police arrived on scene, they were informed that Jean had taken Grandma Mary's car. They were able to activate the car's LoJack system and track it through the neighborhoods and into Hollywood Division's area. And that's where the helicopter will first spot it. The car chase that's going to happen will eventually end in a crash. Jean is going to end up with a power line pole in his grandmother's Camry in Silver Lake, right in front of the Trader Joe's on Hyperion Avenue. Now, according to Google Maps, the drive from roughly the 1600 block of East 32nd to that Trader Joe's can take minimum 30 minutes. And what's real sad about that, it is like less than 10 miles of a drive.
Just traffic nonstop.
It made me think about when a big group of us were in Dallas for Melanie's bachelorette party a few years back. And we were just in the city limits by our Airbnb. And the closest liquor store was like 0.8 miles, but it still took us like 20 minutes to get there.
I'm walking.
No, thank you.
Probably dangerous to walk, though.
Mm-hmm. A helicopter informed Hollywood Division officers of the Camry's location. Depending on other vehicles involved, I'm going to assume that the dash camera with the time of 3:06 p.m. is when the car chase part of it started.
So it wasn't. It was a police chase?
Yes, okay. It was. The officers were in pursuit of a Code 6 Charles vehicle, meaning a felony suspect. They would soon learn that their suspect was wanted for attempted murder. After 6 minutes, so 3:12.
His grandma was hanging on for dear life at this time?
She does survive.
After 6 shots?
Mm-hmm.
Damn, granny.
Yep. After 6 minutes, Jean pulled into a gas station off of East Beverly Boulevard and Virgil Avenue and tried to carjack another victim but was unsuccessful. He got back into the Camry and sped off once again. Moments later, the front passenger tire came off. At least 5 units are now tailing him at 3:14 p.m., following his route throughout the city. Jean refused to pull over despite multiple attempts being made by the officers. Jean even tried to shoot at police cruisers that were behind him. At 3:20, he ends up shooting out the back window of Grandma Mary's Camry in the process. According to the dash camera, once the shots began, the officers had no choice but to back off a little bit. The driving officer from this camera isn't going to risk, you know, himself or his partner getting shot or like a pedestrian. He even tells his partner not to shoot after he hears her say, "I've got my gun ready, partner." This is when they contact the helicopter to let them know that they need to take the lead because they are going to be backing off. Jean would end up crashing the Camry around 3:21 p.m. after weaving in and out of traffic. partially colliding with other vehicles on the road, nearly running over several people, just, you know, minding their business, walking around.
Well, there's only so far you can go with three tires.
That is true.
Damn, Gene.
When all this started, Gene's first shots at the house were at 1:30. He crashes at 3:21. The car chase itself was reported to be 14 minutes and 37 seconds. And I told you it should take at least 30 minutes on a busy Saturday, because that's the day of the week it was, for him to be, you know, weaving in the streets. So I can only assume that it did take time for police to gain access to the car's LoJack system and then find it, you know, out on the road. But I'm like, what was going on for almost 2 hours in that car?
He's just hanging out in traffic.
With his bleeding girlfriend next to him.
Yeah. He just completely lost it.
Gene Atkins swerved across all the lanes of Hyperion Avenue, coming off Rowena Avenue and Glendale Boulevard. I was doing my best to follow the directions from the officers on the footage while I was like looking at Google Maps on my phone, because we don't know this area. So I was trying to figure it out, like do the route with them, you know. After the car strikes the pole at Monin and Hyperion, it finally stopped. Gene opened the driver door and he fired. At 3:21 and 22 seconds, he entered Trader Joe's, leaving behind his girlfriend in the Camry.
Oh, good.
You can see the automatic door of the store open and close, and you hear what sounds like something striking metal. And that would turn out to be a bullet hitting the metal of either it's a stoplight or a lamppost that's located right by where the officers are crouched behind a concrete half wall.
What kind of gun does he have? Because, shit, he's shot so many times by now.
Some 9mm or something. Some pistol.
Wonder if he loaded up on ammunition before he left his grandma's house.
His grandma didn't even know the gun was in the house or how he would have gotten it, so, Police are telling everybody in the area to stay low, get back in the cars, get down. I was kind of cackling to myself a little bit when I was watching part of the dash cam, because there's people in a car getting out behind where he had crashed, and they're just standing there like, oh, what's going on? And police are like, get down, get inside. Like, I mean, they're yelling at him, and these two white people are just chilling. They're like, oh, what's going on?
There's a helicopter hovering around.
Yes, there's like, shots being fired, and you're just standing outside your car? What are you doing? Multiple shots are being fired. One of the officers managed to strike Gene in his left arm during the exchange. Gene would not be the only one hit by a bullet that afternoon.
Did the police accidentally shoot somebody else?
We'll get to that.
Ooh.
We'll get to that. The manager of the store, 27-year-old Melly Corrado, had heard the crash of the Camry and was headed towards the front of the store to see what had happened and what all the commotion was about. Melly ended up in the middle of the crossfire between the police and Gene. She was discovered behind the manager's counter, like she had dragged herself back there. It was a customer inside that noticed a puddle of blood and then her lying there. Outside was chaotic. The inside of the store was about to become chaotic. Once Gene had entered that Trader Joe's, he instantly had 30 to 40 hostages. The customers were just spending their Saturday afternoon grocery shopping when they hear crash, followed by gunfire. And all they could describe it as was a crash and boom, boom, boom. That's all they heard. Someone would finally yell, "There's a shooter. The gunman is in the store." Of course, that's just going to make everybody lose their minds, right?
Panic, yeah. Stampede.
Several huddled together in aisles. They're scared to death, worried that they're about to be victims of some mass shooting. About 20 would go into like a back closet of the food prep area and hide. Jean is yelling at everybody to get off their phones or they're going to get killed.
I'm just saying, if this was in small town Arkansas, he would not last a second in there because somebody would be packing.
Oh, absolutely. Just saying. Yeah. Even though Jean's yelling at people, you know, they're still like texting their loved ones, you know, I love you in case this is the last time you hear from me, you know, blah, blah, blah. No one inside that Trader Joe's even knew the gunman's name. They didn't know what was going on with his morning, what had happened that day. They just knew that this man had a gun and they were trapped inside with him. From the accounts of the hostages, Jean wasn't mean or what you would expect from a gunman, you know, running from the police. For instance, a customer helped him when he asked. She saw that he was kind of going into shock and he was shivering from his gunshot wound. And she asked if he wanted her to go get a jacket for him. And he allowed her to move around the store. She would also be the same person that discovers Melly behind the counter. This customer, Mary Linda Moss, told Jean that a woman had been shot and he was adamant that it was not him. When Mary Linda asked if they could get her help and take her outside, Jean said, okay. I mean, that's not what you would expect from somebody
right
with hostages.
Well, he was way in over his head there.
From like the get-go.
So like, is he going to make demands or like... what's about to go down?
Hold up. We're about to get to that.
Is he going to request a airplane or a helicopter to land on the top of Trader Joe's to get out of there?
Okay, Hans Gruber. After Melly was taken outside to first responders by another employee, the police called Jean's cell phone. The negotiator asked for Jean to let the hostages go. He also told him that his girlfriend was alive and in surgery. Jean asked for one thing, and that was to speak to his girlfriend. If he can do that, he's going to turn himself in.
Sorry for shooting you in the head.
Jesus, how's that going to go? Jean instructed Mary Linda to gather the rest of the customers, and once they were all headed towards the front of the store, some of them were a bit confused because Mary Linda and another Trader Joe's employee were comforting Jean. So these other people that they're now bringing to the front of the store are like, what the hell? Why are you helping the guy holding us hostage? Mary Linda would later tell CBS News that she was trying to keep him grounded. She said that she had a troubled childhood herself, overcoming addiction, and she felt like she could relate to Jean in some way. More than likely, it was her kindness that saved her and the others, because Jean told her that he didn't want to hurt her or really anyone for that matter. Once the 13 or so customers from the store were all up front because they have no idea there's 20 other people hiding in a back food storage closet, Jean told the employee to pick somebody from the crowd. Everyone's terrified. They're like, oh my God, is he about to shoot one of us? But no, he lets that person go. Then they wait.
Who did they pick?
It's like... they picked a 12 or 13-year-old. Like, they picked a kid. They let the kid go.
So they thought he was going to let them go, hopefully.
Like, yeah, right. Like, okay, this is good. This is good.
Pick the 12-year-old to get shot. That would be messed up.
Well, they wait for a while because Jean's waiting on the phone call from his girlfriend. But she's in surgery, so who knows how long it's going to take. Over the course of the next passing hour, Jean actually does let more hostages go free. But then one woman decided to take action on her own, and she runs outside without Jean's permission, which made him mad, and he locks the front door.
So she got out safe, though?
She does end up getting out, but...
ruined it for the rest of them?
Yes. Jean would walk back and forth and peek outside the door, assess the situation, and he just happened to look up and discover a sniper on the roof across the way.
I was about to ask. I mean, I'm sure the doors are just glass, right?
Yes, they are.
So they can see through.
Jean freaked out, demanded the sniper be removed on that open line to the police that he's got, and the police don't budge. It wasn't until Gene threatened to shoot a hostage if the sniper wasn't removed, and then he starts counting down from five. He's counting down. The hostages are screaming because the police can hear him on the open line being like, move the sniper, please. Move him. Get him down. Gene was on three when his wish was granted. But what Gene didn't realize was there was two more snipers on that same roof. They were just hidden. By now, he just wants to talk to his girlfriend. They've been waiting. I don't know if it crossed his mind whether she would make it or could speak to him in whatever condition she might be in. SWAT team has approached the front of the store in their vehicle. And then I think it finally occurred to Gene that there'd be two ways out, either him dead or him in handcuffs. The possibility of others being hurt in the process was becoming very real to the hostages. Gene decided to come up with his own way out. On the phone, on the open line, he said, get me my call to my girlfriend, send in some handcuffs, and I'll hand over my gun and turn myself in. One of the customers, his name is Mike, he said, I'll do it. He goes to the front of the store to meet an officer to get a pair of handcuffs from him. And that was almost a whole incident in itself. When he's right there at the door, SWAT's over here like, hey, come on, come on, come on. But Mike is adamant that, hey, I just want these handcuffs. He's like, I need to go back inside. He said there was no way he would leave the others behind. They were all in it together at this point. There was a lot of yelling and screaming going back and forth between SWAT and Mike and Gene. But eventually, Mike does return with the handcuffs.
Just give me the damn handcuffs.
Yes, that's probably what he was saying. The police had hesitated on the idea of giving Gene these handcuffs because Gene said he would use them to surrender himself, but the police were afraid that he would handcuff himself to a hostage and then use that person as protection, like a shield, when exiting the building. Minutes passed, which I'm sure felt like hours. But the negotiator gets back on the line to tell Gene that they made contact with his girlfriend. The girlfriend made it out of surgery. She was fine, and she recorded a message telling Gene that she was okay and just go outside. Just go. She says it three times. I'm okay. Go outside. Mary Linda said after he heard it, it was like relief came over him. She could see like a change in him, like a veil had been lifted, because that's all he wanted. He wanted that call. He wanted to know. So after that, he released more hostages. Finally, it's down to Gene and four hostages at the front of the store.
I mean, they still got the people in the storage.
Right. They don't know they're back there. Right. Yeah. Gene was scared to exit. He was afraid he was going to get shot again. As a group, the five of them chose to exit the front together. He was handcuffed and had given his gun away to one of those customers. And as they're leaving the building, they can hear footsteps up on the roof because SWAT was about to bust in on them.
Dang. How long was he in there for?
3 hours.
Dang.
Of course, like I said, the 20 in the back closet had no idea what was going on that whole time. And it was like 15 minutes after it was all said and done that SWAT finally found them hiding back there. And yes, like I just said, it took 3 hours to resolve that situation at the Silver Lake Trader Joe's. Gene Atkins would be charged with a total of 51 felony counts, including attempted murder of two police officers, false imprisonment of a hostage, and murder.
Who did he murder?
Melly Corrado would be the only one killed that day. She was sadly struck by a bullet fired from an LAPD officer's weapon, but Gene would be charged with her death because it was his actions that set the events of that day in motion.
That makes sense.
And he also knew for about 20 minutes that she had been shot before he let someone take her outside.
Ah.
So that could have made a whole difference.
Could have saved her.
His grandmother would recover after having multiple surgeries. And I already said that his girlfriend recovered also. She being a minor at the time, was never named, and I still could never find anything, which that's her right to privacy.
Now, did Grandma forgive him or go visit him or anything?
Ooh, Grandma. Grandma testified against him.
I bet.
The two officers that fired back at Jean were Officer Sinlin Say. I hope I say that right. I listened to a lot of audio clips of pronunciation, and I hope I said it right. And his partner was Sarah Winans, and they fired a total of 8 rounds. One hit Jean, one hit Melly, entering her arm and passing through into her chest. Jean did fire once he was inside the store, but officers never fired back after he had entered. What happened to Melly was sad and unfortunate. The officers couldn't have known that she ran to the front. They had relied on their training, and they did what they needed to do to defend other civilians and themselves. The officers' actions were found to be justified in using deadly force in an attempt to stop the suspect. Everything Jean did that day, from the shooting at the house, kidnapping his girlfriend, the attempted carjacking, firing at officers, all these reasons were things that the police knew, and the use of force was found reasonable because of the facts. Officer Say said that he had no other alternative but to fire to stop the suspect, and once he realized the suspect was entering the building, he ceased fire. Ballistics would show that 1 of 5 bullets that came from his gun did strike Melly.
Did he keep his job afterwards?
Yes. I try to find out if him and his partner were still employed.
Probably.
I think they are. Jean Atkins was found to be competent to stand trial May 2021. This was 2018 when everything happened. Was supposed to go to a pre-trial hearing July 2021. In November 2022, Jean was granted his request to act as his own attorney. His criminal case trial is still pending. Melly Corrado's family would file a wrongful death and negligence lawsuit in November 2018. A judge did dismiss this, but I do believe there is still a civil suit scheduled. It was supposed to happen in October or November of 2023 against the city of Los Angeles and the two officers involved. The last update was from Los Angeles County Superior Courts on November 15th, 2023, but I could not access the documents without paying $49.
Oh my gosh.
So I'm so sorry.
Nope.
When updates or news comes up from either Jean or Melly family trial, I will give updates, but that's it. That is the Trader Joe's shooting and Jean Atkins and whatever happened to him that day that just snapped.
That's wild. They're going to make a movie out of that. Well, good job, love.
Thank you.
Yeah, that could have went a whole different way if it hadn't been for Mary. Is that her name?
Mary Linda, bro?
Mary Linda.
Mary Linda Moss.
Yeah.
In the store with him.
Uh-huh. Probably.
She was his...
calming him down.
Yeah. She did a good job. I'm sure she was terrified. She had said in an interview that her daughter was out in the car. She had run in for like a snack.
Oh, wow.
And then got caught up in all that.
And her daughter's just out there freaking out. Yeah, because he didn't know he was going to be holding people hostage that day. He didn't have a plan.
No, there was no plan. The only thing planned was probably in that moment when he went and got the gun and shot his grandmother and then accidentally got his girlfriend. I think it was probably an accident because if it grazed her head, it probably was an accident.
Probably.
And maybe that's why he put her in the car and was freaking out and worried about her, because he didn't mean to hit his girlfriend. His anger was probably towards his grandmother and her being, no, you know, nitpicking at him. And then he finally just had enough.
I can't believe she survived.
Granny, Yeah, Grandma Mary's what I'm calling her, but she's a
superwoman. She's a trooper. Yeah, superwoman. Man.
All that craziness. And like I said, if you guys get an opportunity or just want 13 minutes of fun, you can go on YouTube and you can type in Trader Joe's shooting, Hollywood Division shooting, and find it. And you can watch the dash cameras from the car and then the two officers' body cameras. It's very cool.
Okay, well, that's it. Thank y'all for listening. We'll be back again next week. Until next time, stay local, shop local,
murder local.